Dear congregation, the theme for the sermon tonight is, of course, because it's about the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. The Sabbath. Three thoughts. First, our thoughts on Sunday. What are our thoughts? Our thoughts of the society around us on Sunday. Two, the Bible on Sabbath and Sunday. What does the Bible actually say about Sabbath and Sunday? And third, the practice of Sunday observance. That's short, last thought with some practical guidelines around Sunday observance. So the theme is the Sabbath. Three points of attention: our thoughts on Sunday, the Bible on Sabbath and Sunday, the practice of Sunday observance. So first of all, our thoughts about Sunday. Well, of course, the focus tonight is keeping the Sunday or the Sabbath, because we are dealing tonight with Lord's Day 38, the fourth commandment. And the fourth commandment starts with these well-known words: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, probably when we think about the Sunday, the very first thing that comes to our mind is the different character of this day. It has indeed for us a different character. And that's true for most of the citizens of the United States. Stephen Miller, a Harvard professor, he wrote a book, The Peculiar Life of Sunday. He studied a lot on the topic Sunday and the history of Sunday and keeping the Sunday in our history. He writes about a Sunday in his book, The Peculiar Life of Sunday. It is a day when you don't have to do things, where you can just lie around, see people if you want, or not see people if you don't want. Well, that's for most of the US citizens Sunday. Indeed, a day different. According to recent surveys from the Bureau of Statistics, of Labor Statistics, the Bureau of Labor Statistics here in the United States, a federal bureau, the average American spends 0.2 hour, so that's, 10 minutes, something like that, on religious activities on Sundays. 0.2 hour, around 12 minutes? That's it. But the average American spends 6.5 hours on leisure and sport on Sundays. 3.6 hours every Sunday watching television. The average American works 1 hour on Sunday. Okay, at a regular weekday, they work on average, that's actually all, 4.5 hours. But on Sunday they still work, but a little bit less, 1 hour. The next figure is even more shocking. 11.5% of the population is engaged in religious activities on Sunday. 11.5%. They do so on average for 2 hours. That's shocking, isn't it? Staggering data. This is the United States. These are statistics from 2021. I just looked them up yesterday. That's recently. Oh, indeed, it is a day different than every other day. Amazing. But what a difference compared to the past. Let me take you back to the past of the United States. Stephen Miller, who wrote that book, The Peculiar Life of the Sundays, that Harvard professor, he wrote about the 18th century. Quote, there were Connecticut blue laws in the 18th century which said that you could not kiss your baby on Sunday. You could not tell a joke on Sunday. There was absolutely no frivolity on Sunday. You could not play an instrument. 18th century. It's not that long back, isn't it? That same Stephen Miller wrote in his book about the 19th century, Sunday legislation was the second most debated subject after slavery in the 19th century because there were different opinions about what you could or couldn't do on Sunday. The second most debated subject in the United States, 19th century. He wrote about the 20th century. Gradually, in the 20th century, all the things that we associate with Sunday now started. So there is the Sunday drive, the Sunday dinner, the Sunday sports, the Sunday paper, etc., etc. For most of the people in the 20th century, the Sunday became indeed a day of games, celebration, sports. Currently, in the 21st century, if you read the statistics, it is almost a day like the other days. Almost. And if I'm not mistaken, all of this has affected the church and us. We are part of that society. We live in the midst of that culture, and we don't like it to be totally different. So we all tend and are apt to adopt at least something from the culture around us, because we don't like to be strangers. In fact, most Christians don't have any problem traveling for hours on a Sunday. What's the problem with it? Most Christians go out for shopping on Sundays without a problem, without any hesitation. The shop is open, so what's the problem? I need something, so I go out and I get it. Oh, it is a day of rest. But many Christians take it so literally, and the whole afternoon they spend on bed. That's their day of rest. Is this indeed the day of rest? What has changed among us? Christians generally. I don't speak specifically on Providence, but Christians in generally. What has changed among us? Was our understanding and interpretation of the Bible so wrong even a century ago? Were the Puritans and the Reformers totally mistaken? Or are we totally mistaken? What's happening here? Has the culture so much influence, and that maybe we did become worldly? Or we were just so legalistic in the past, and we left all of that behind us? We are free as Christians, as long as it is okay with our heart. That's the most important thing. God looks to my heart, right? And despite all these things, when I speak to young people, it's amazing. Many of them still experience the Sunday as a straitjacket. It's no straitjacket at all anymore compared to the past. And still, many young people still experience it as a straitjacket, a coat that pinches, that you like to throw away. Away with that Sabbath. Away with the Sunday. What is that anyway? It seems that loosening the ties that pins does not help, right? But then they still pinches after all these changes. Now we might think, well, let's just go back to the security of all kinds of sandals. There we are secure. Let's sit together. We have a meeting as congregation, and we will establish some rules. Family rules, church rules. This is allowed on Sunday, and this is not allowed, and this we do, and this we don't do. We call it, with a difficult word, casuistry. All kinds of guidelines and rules. In this case, you can do that. In that case, you can do something different. All kinds of rules. This thou shalt do, and this thou shalt not do. By example, we make a rule. Is it allowed to visit friends on Sunday? Well, and we come to the conclusion, in this case it is allowed, in that case it's not. Or it is allowed under certain circumstances. Are we allowed to travel? Oh yes, up to 1 hour. Or to visit children, or I don't know. We can make all kinds of rules. That's casuistry. Is that a solution? I would like to take you back to the Bible and to the words of Jesus. Because let's be very careful with making too much rules. That road has been traveled many times in the history. And as many times that road has been traveled, it ended as a dead road. It's probably not a good solution. You see a very good example in the Mishnah. That's the Jewish oral tradition. And these traditions, they date from the first half of the second century. So between the year 100 and 150 after Christ. And in the Mishnah, we find no less than 39 main types of activities forbidden on the Sabbath. Let me give you some examples. It is forbidden, and then follows, sowing, plowing, harvesting, threshing, spinning, weaving, two-thread. Weaving two-thread is forbidden. Writing two letters, forbidden. Lightning or extinguishing fire, forbidden. Carrying something to move, forbidden. On the other hand, many things are allowed. By example, weaving one thread and setting one stitch. Just some examples. That's casuistry. Is that a solution? Well, let's go back to the Bible, because we can safely assume that many of these rules applied in the time of the New Testament. The Mishnah was written down between 100 and 150. We can safely assume that most of these rules, they applied in the days of Jesus living on earth. Oh, and often these rules, they arise out of piety, of course. And reverence before the Lord. But what happened? They caused hypocrisy. Of course they caused hypocrisy. And the Sabbath becomes a straitjacket. It starts to squeeze. And the Lord Jesus points out in the New Testament that it's about our heart in the first place. It's about our motivation in the first place. It's about our soul. It's about our inner life. It's about faith and worshiping God in the very first place. And that's a spiritual issue. Everything comes from within. And that's the essence of the Sermon on the Mount. No legalism. No, that's deadly. No casuistry. That's deadly. But acting in love of God and neighbor. Following Jesus Christ in self-denial and cross-bearer. Being a cross-bearer. That's what it's all about for Jesus. So we read in Mark 2 the following words. I think they are well known for you. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Because all these Jewish people, they made all these rules. So it seems that indeed man was made for the Sabbath. But Jesus tells us it's the other way around. It is not rule upon rule, because then man seems to need to fit into all these rules. Man seems to have to fit in the Sabbath. And the Lord Jesus tells it, it's the opposite. The Sabbath is not a straitjacket. It's the other way around. The Sabbath should fit man, fits around man, like a joyful coat. That's it. A coat that gives freedom and rest. The Sabbath is indeed, first of all, a day of freedom and joy in the Lord. We have read it in Psalm 92. That's so clear. Sabbath is, first of all, a day of joy, celebration, freedom. And indeed, it is different from all other days. On that day, we don't work. Of course not. Because it is a day of the Lord, a day of joy in Him, a day of freedom in Him. And therefore, we don't fall back on our daily labor, on slavery to the world, to the lusts of our heart. It's a day so different from all other days. Well, let's move on to the second thought. The Bible on Sabbath and Sunday. We already considered some things about the Bible and Sabbath and Sunday. But there is far more to consider. I would like to draw 3 lines for you. I would like to address 3 themes with regard to the Sabbath and the Sunday. The first theme is that the Sabbath is a day of rest. The second one, that it's a day of liberation. And the third thing, that is a day of fellowship. I'll prove it biblically. I'll prove it with Bible text. It is a day of rest. It is a day of liberation. And it is a day of fellowship. First, it is a day of rest. Well, we all are so well known with the words of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? We hear them every Lord's Day morning. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How do we keep the Sabbath holy? How? Well, the fourth commandment continues. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any. Please underscore, not do any work. God's commandment is clear. 6 days for working, that's more than enough. 6 days. But the seventh day, we cease from our work. Then it is time to rest. By the way, not literally, but rest in Jesus Christ. Rest in the triune God. Rest in the work of God. Find our joy in God. That's the day of rest. Of course, this raises the question, why do we rest on this one day? Why are we not allowed to work on this particular day? Well, we continue to read the fourth commandment. For, here comes the reason, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Acts Exodus takes us back to creation. And that image is evoked that God is at work. 6 days work. What is God doing? God is creating. God sees chaos and he makes an order. After 6 days, he is finished with his work of creation and ordering. There is a perfectly ordered universe and a perfectly ordered earth ready. And the crown of that creation is mankind. Adam and Eve. Man, that's the crown. That's the crown. Why? How is man created? As a viceroy. Man is a viceroy. In a certain way, God is finished with his creation and making order. He creates man as the crown of his creative and order and work of ordering. And that crown is man. And that man is made a viceroy. And that man is made to rule what God made in that perfect order. Man is to maintain that perfectly creative work of God. So God rests. In a certain way, you could say, he hands over his work to man. Because man is his viceroy. Man has to rule and maintain creation to display God's image here on earth. That image shown in righteousness and holiness and knowledge. That's what's happening. It's miraculous that the first full day of man on earth, what day is it? Is it a Monday or a Tuesday? What is the first full day of man on earth? A Sabbath. Man begins his first full day. You see the link with the Sunday? Our first day? You see what Jesus did? Our first day, full day on earth. Because man is created on the sixth day. And the first full day is a day of rest. God finished his work. He's full of joy. He created everything good. And there's the crown of his work. He has a viceroy on earth. And that viceroy will rule the earth. And the whole earth will be filled with his glory. That's our task. To carry God's name across the world, that the world will be filled with God's glory. And man begins that work on the Sabbath, a day of rest. The earth will be filled with God's name and his glory. Oh, it will be. That prospect lies ahead. There will be once a day again that the whole earth will be filled with God's name and glory. And then there is a true Sabbath rest. Are you looking forward for that rest? No more slavery. No more temptations. No more sin. No more tempting world. No more misery. No more sin. Rest, eternal rest. For now, we have to fill the earth with God's glory. That's the task we are called to do. Oh, indeed, we are a church family. And let's praise the Lord's name for that and thank him for that. But it only begins here. We have to go out to fill this earth with God's glory and name. And all of that starts here on Sabbath. On Sunday, on this one day every week, we stop our work to regain that perspective that our rest is in God, that he is our creator and recreator in Christ, that our task on earth is to fill this earth with God's glory and name, We show his image on this world around us. That's what the Sunday or the Sabbath is for. To gain knowledge about the triune God. To taste God's love. And to be equipped to spread his name the coming 6 days. That's the Sunday. What a high honor and gift. What a privilege is the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, our whole life is put into perspective. There is a creator. There is a recreator. We have and we may show his image and show God's glory here on earth. And we are traveling toward that great day of rest, that never-ending day of rest, underway to that day. And we are equipped on the Sabbath for our travel towards that day of rest. Well, in the New Testament, the Sunday has that function, no longer the Sabbath. And on the Sunday, we are indeed reminded at Christ's work of recreation, fulfilled, perfectly ready. Tetelestai, it is finished, he said. Everything is finished, the whole salvation. And we may learn that. And we are equipped on the Sundays to go out as the image bearer of Jesus Christ and to show his name and his glory to the world around us. That's the purpose of the Sunday. What a day, what a day, what a privilege is that day to be equipped for that eternal rest. Why is it that the day is so often hard on us? Does it say anything about our faith, about our knowledge? Are we maybe so worldly minded, carnal, that Sabbath is a kind of straitjacket for us, that day is hard for us, that we prefer to travel or to sleep instead of being equipped to be able to do our work the next 6 days, to spread God's name, to carry his name? This is the first commandment. We heard already what the first commandment is about, and the second and the third. I don't have to tell you all of this. This is the fourth commandment. It equips us to fulfill the tasks given to us in the first, second, and third commandment. There is another theme. I have to continue. The day of rest, the Sabbath, is also a day of liberation. You probably know that the law of the Ten Commandments is given twice to us. Exodus, Deuteronomy. Well, the words used for the fourth commandment in Deuteronomy are a bit different from the words used in Exodus. You read the fourth commandment also in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. And there, that's maybe a surprise, you hear a different motivation to keep the Sabbath. So in Exodus, the motivation, it's a day of rest. Rest upon the finished work on God, the finished work in Jesus Christ, to be equipped to fulfill our task. But the second motivation we read in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. Remember. Do we remember what? That thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. You was a slave to your sins, to the lust of your heart and to the world. And that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand, by his stretched out arm, the work of Jesus Christ. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So Deuteronomy tells us, observe the Sabbath because you are redeemed You're liberated. You are set free from all your slavery. You no longer serve the gods of the world. And you may practice that on this one special day. You're holy, set apart. And you are equipped for all of that on the Sabbath. You are a liberated people, set free. The Sabbath indeed recalls our past. We were once slaves. Do you remember that time? That you was a slave of the lust in your heart? That you was a slave of the world around you? That your life was only work, 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 slave, slaving, slave work. That's it. But you're liberated by Christ. Well, freed from the bonds of slavery, what promise that holds for the present and future as well, when sometimes we again are stuck in bonds of slavery again. Right? Suddenly, we are again captives of the lust of our heart and captives of the idols of the world. And then we may hear at the Sabbath day, I set you free. I paid for you. I forgive all your sins. And every Sunday you may start again seeing Christ's work. What a day the Sunday is. What a gift, a precious gift of God. The Sabbath put indeed everything in perspective. See God. See that triune God. See his work of creation and recreation. See Jesus Christ who died at Calvary's cross for your sins. He came in your bonds of slavery to set you free. What a reminder is that on the Sabbath. He delivered you from that slave house. And now you may start your travel to the land of rest. And the Lord equips us every Sunday for our travel, our journey to that land of rest. Oh, Lord, thank thee for this day. One day out of seven, it's not that much, isn't it? To be equipped for that, to set everything in perspective, to remember that the work of Jesus Christ. What a precious day. The Sabbath recalls God's great deeds. And the Sabbath wants us to rest, not literally in bed, but on the great day of deeds of God, on Jesus Christ. That's the rest of the Sabbath. It is not lying down in bed. No. You will be tired again tomorrow. Rest tomorrow and the day after. But this day is a day to rest on the finished work of Jesus Christ. To receive life from him. And you will carry that all your journey to this earthly desert. You will be equipped for the next 6 days. And then there is another Sunday. And you will be equipped again. That's the rest. How great, how precious that gift. What does it say about us if on Sunday we prefer the bondage of work and we start already our work? What does it say about our heart? If even on Sundays, that one day out of seven, we again are busy with our daily work. And the Lord told us, I give you this day as a precious gift to be reminded who I am and what I did for you. Your high position as my viceroy. That you are my beloved one in Jesus Christ. Don't work that day. Rest on the finished work of Jesus Christ. What does it say about us if we prefer to live according to the lusts of our heart on Sundays? What does it say about us if we enjoy the world on Sundays instead of finding our joy in God, the triune God? And I come to God in repentance and say, Lord, forgive. Please put everything in the right perspective. What a gift, this very special day. I may rest from my daily labor. I may rest from living for the lusts of my heart. I may rest from all these temptations in the world. This day is holy. This day is to rest upon your word in Christ your Son. What a special day. What does it say about us, dear congregation, if there is hardly any difference between the weekdays and the Sundays? Do we prefer the bonds of slavery above the freedom? Everyone who is in Christ, and my prayer is that you are all in Christ. Everyone who is in Christ is free. And we have one day to practice that freedom. Sunday is for us to learn and to see all these things again and to put our lives in the right perspective, to point us to the freedom in Christ and to let us rest on that. Well, before I continue with the last portion of the second thought, let us sing a Psalter. Psalter 7. Verses 1, 2, and 3. We'll sing all stanzas. Psalter 7, Psalm 4.
Thank you.
how better to express what Sunday is for than the words of Psalter 7. Here you hear what Sunday is for, Psalter 7. Well, there is a third motivation in Scripture to keep the Sabbath. And that is, it is a day of fellowship. It is a day of rest, indeed it is. Rest upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, the great recreator. It is a day of liberation. We are reminded of the finished work of Jesus Christ, who cried out, Tetelestai, it is finished. We are equipped on that day for our journey through this earthly desert, underway to that eternal land of rest. Or are we a stranger of all of this? Are we really a stranger? May the Lord have mercy upon us, that we no longer are a stranger. Well, the third reason, a day of fellowship. The Sabbath, according to the Old Testament, the Sabbath is a sign of God's covenant. You read that in Exodus 31. That's the third portion of Scripture I would like to read before you. We read there, among others, Exodus 31. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep. And we hear again a motivation, a third motivation. For it is a sign, a covenant sign, between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify thee. So the Sabbath is a sign of God's covenant with us. It is a sign and a token that there is a God who in Christ seeks out sinners. Amazing. It is a sign of God's covenant that God is faithful to all his promises. How amazing the Sunday. And it serves, what is the reason that we receive this sign? That ye may know that I am the Lord that thus sanctify you. God gave that Sabbath as a covenant sign that we may know that he is Lord and not we, that he is Lord and that he sanctifieth. And that knowledge is, of course, not only theoretical knowledge, that's important, but it's experiential knowledge. And we receive that knowledge on the Sabbath, in our gatherings together, as a church family, under the Word of God. Here it is where the Spirit works, and where indeed we gain the theoretical and experiential knowledge that we may know that God is Lord, that the Lord is God, and that he sanctifies. What a gift of God's hand the Sabbath is. It wants us to ring. That's what this is all about in God's fellowship. Because what's the purpose of God's covenant? He is looking out for fellowship with sinners. He set apart certain sinners, not better than any other sinner, but he sets them apart. He gives them that sign and token of his covenant. He wants to have fellowship with these sinners. So the Sabbath wants us to bring into that fellowship with him. Amazing. But then there is another side of the coin. Vice versa, right? The Sabbath requires from us fellowship with him. He is a longing to have fellowship with us. Therefore, this one day, a covenant day, a day as a gift of his hand, and he wants to have fellowship. How can we do work on this day? How can we live according to the lust of our heart? How can we live in the world if this day is set apart and because the Lord longs to have fellowship with us on this day? And therefore, he demands from us to have fellowship with him. And therefore, we have these services. And therefore, we study the Word of God. Therefore, we meditate upon the Word of God. Therefore, we pray. Therefore, we encourage each other. And of course, we visit each other. Why? Not to speak about our daily affairs. We can do that 6 days a week. But to speak about God and who he is, about God's creative work, about Christ's recreative work, about how he set us free. We build each other up. That's what a Sunday is for. It's a day of fellowship as a family in God, in his word. I could say it very simple in contemporary language. God wants to connect with us. And he asked for our connection to him. That's that evangelical obedience that we keep the Sunday. He asks for our connection to him. Oh, this was all, you know, in shadows in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it all fell short. And therefore, Jeremiah prophesied in Jeremiah 31 about a new covenant. Joel, the prophet, prophesied about the time that the teacher of righteousness would come, and after him, the Spirit will be poured out. And the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh and give knowledge and wisdom. How rich all of this was fulfilled when Christ came down to earth, finished his work, ascended to heaven, and the Spirit was poured out. Sunday reminds us of all of that, that he poured out his Spirit. And that Spirit enables us to come to knowledge, righteousness, holiness. It's all a fruit of the Spirit. It's all worked by the Spirit. And therefore, this special day is a gift out of God's hand. Well, it is indeed a day set apart, especially for God's Spirit to work in us. Not a day to sleep, please, please. Not a day to work, please. Not a day to travel the whole day, please. Not a day to go out for shopping, please. Not a day to play computer games the whole day, please. No, no, please, please. It is a day to let God's Spirit work in you. And God's Spirit always works through his word. It is a day to rest on his word, to open his word, to listen to his word, to encourage each other in his word. It is a day of his word. That's the Sunday. What does it say about us if we still sigh under that day? Let us beg the Lord for the ministry of the Spirit in our lives, that we may indeed see the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let us pray for God's grace. What a rich day the Sabbath was in the Old Testament, and it is a much richer day, and a much richer day as Sunday in the New Testament. It went from image to reality, from shadow to body. Sunday is not a straitjacket. It is a gift from God's hand. And it's all about discovering who God is and who we are. What a day. Well, I would like to end shortly with a third thought. Some practical guidelines about Sunday observance. How that we observe the Sabbath on a Sunday. We need practical guidelines. We can't without. Especially fathers and mothers among us who have to raise children or raise children know that you need practical guidelines. You can't without. Well, I'm not going to give you all kinds of rules, because that's your office as father or mother. You are the father is the priest in his house. And there is a certain freedom, the freedom of the spirit. But I want to give you four rules, quite simple. First rule, Sunday is a day of rest from three things. It is a day of rest from work, in the sense of our daily work. 6 days you work, Sunday we don't work. It is a day of rest for living for the lusts of our heart. If also at Sunday we live for the lust of our heart, we make ourselves slaves. And the day is a reminder that we are set free in Christ, that we are no longer slaves. We don't live for the lust of our heart. That's also part of that work. We rest from that slavery of the lust to the lusts in our heart. And thirdly, we rest from anything of the world. We rest from anything that could attract us in the world. It is a day set apart, a day of rest, a day of rest. So it's so clear. No work at all, please. And keep free from the world with all its temptations, because the world with all its temptations appeals to the lusts in our heart. No slavery at Sunday. There's the second thing. So it's a day of rest. You can fill it in for your own family. Second, it is a day for God's word. We read in Leviticus 23, verse 3, that the Sabbath was a day of holy convocation. In other words, the people came together on the Sabbath day. Why? To see God's face, to hear his word. Why? To be equipped. Why? God's word teaches us wisdom. It makes the simple wise. It is a light on our path that brightens the dark. On Sundays, we are taught who God is, who we are. And that word, we heard it this morning in that story of the Samaritan woman, changes our lives. In other words, at Sundays, God's word is opened here and at home to equip us for the work the coming 6 days. And what is our main task the coming 6 days? It is to spread, lift up God's holy name and to spread his glory in all our undertakings. Whether you are working at home, whether you work in an office, whether you are a driver, it doesn't matter what you do. In all your undertakings, our main task, our first goal is to spread God's name and glory. Lift up his holy name. Second commandment. We find exactly the same thing, by the way, in the New Testament, right? In the letter to the Hebrews, we are urged, chapter 10, not to neglect the mutual gatherings. What a privilege it is that God grants those. It is on these mutual gatherings, these services here, that we gain knowledge of his will. It is here where the Spirit works. And it is here that we learn to spend our life in God's service. It was the second thing. It's all about God's word on this day. The third thing, it is about giving. That's an important task on the Sunday. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were offered on the Sabbath. You can read it by example, Leviticus 23. Sacrifices were offered on the Sabbath. But the same happened in the New Testament. It is a day of giving. Paul asked the Corinthians to set aside something of our income every first day of the week, that day of rest, the New Testamentic Sabbath. That setting apart something of our income is our sacrifice. We give something of our possessions, our income, the fruit of our work, all that work we have done the past 6 days, and we bring part of it back to God. He blessed us, so we bless Him. Through all these sacrifices, the worship services can continue. The work of mission and evangelism can go on. So it's very important. Well, the fourth thing is the day of the Lord. The Sabbath, the Sunday, is a day of celebration. Please, it's not a straitjacket. It is a day of joy. It is. And I'm so certain, when you know the Lord, when you came to know the Lord, when you do understand what grace is, when God opened your eyes that you are a sinner, when God poured out His Spirit in you and gave you a new heart, no doubt that Sunday will be a day of celebration. Psalm 92 is a rich witness to that, because that day points us back to the recreative work of Jesus Christ, His finished work, te tetelestai. I paid for you. I set you free. I give you my righteousness. You are my beloved one. That day points to all of that. On the Sunday, we praise God the Father for His free love, for His election. On that day, we praise the Spirit for teaching us. And so this day radiates its light into the whole week, because Christ is going to shine in your life, because the Holy Spirit is going to fill your life. In a way, you could say the Sunday is the engine of life during the week. It's the engine here. So spend this time really good. Let us please, dear congregations, receive that day with joy and keep that day holy. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank Thee for that rich gift of the Sabbath day, the Sunday, that first day of the week. Before we go out to do our work, before we are sent out into the world around us, before we are surrounded by temptations and we have to deal with all these weaknesses in our heart, before all of that, we are equipped on this day. We are pointed to Jesus Christ. It is here in Thy house that Thy Spirit works, and that He calls sinners and forgives them through the finished work of Jesus Christ, Thy beloved Son. Here at Sundays, dead people rise from their graves and are made new and receive everlasting life. Lord, what a rich gift the Sunday is. Please, Lord, help us to keep the day holy. Thou knowest how difficult it by times is for us. Oh, Lord, that it may indeed be a day of celebration. Lord, be with the young people among us. Be with the parents among us. And that the older people among us may be a real example. Lord, go with us the next 6 days. We thank Thee that Thou equipped us today, that we were pointed to Jesus Christ. And we come before Thee, Lord, as sinners. Lord, have mercy upon us. Hear our prayer and receive our thanks in the name of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 227. 227. Psalter 227. And we'll sing all three stanzas. That's Psalm 84, Psalter 227. We'll sing all three stanzas. May we glorify his holy name the coming 6 days. Well, lift up your hearts and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.